You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to LA Talk Radio today. Your Ultimate Life, Your Ultimate Life. I'm really excited today. I've been working on this afternoon and thinking about how I can share something with you that's really valuable, that you can take right now and make a change in your life that you can enjoy right now. Not some airy-fairy crap that sits out there in, you know, never land. But what would change for you right now? Now, often someone, you know, being asked that question, they would say, well, if I found a bag of cash on my doorstep. Well, I'm not Amazoning you or mailing you a bag of gold coins. Okay, first of all, you'd never get them. And second of all, that actually wouldn't change your life very much, except for a short period of time. And now you're already saying, yeah, it would. Okay, for a minute. But I get a story about that first. I had a really, really expensive Rado watch. And years ago, when Joy and I first got married, we decided to sell it, right? For whatever reason, I had collected a lot of really expensive trinkets, pens and watches and things over the years. But then when we got married in 2007, in the next two or three years, we decided to sell a whole bunch of stuff because I just wasn't in that universe anymore. So she sold a lot of stuff on eBay. She was really good. And we did. And guess what? It sold and it went to a place in New Zealand. Well, Joy's been a 25-year eBay merchant and Etsy and all the rest of the online platforms. So she always buys insurance and ships it, you know, registered mail and that sort of thing. And of course, it didn't get delivered. And oh, no, nobody knew anything about it. And then she pulled out the registration and so forth. So eventually we got the insurance covered it and we got the money back, et cetera, et cetera. And I never, of course, still to this day, don't know who got the watch, but we got paid for it. The reason I tell that story is it just popped in my mind as I was thinking about a gold bars delivered on your front porch by Amazon. Today, I want to talk about something really important that I think will make a difference, a big difference for you in creating your ultimate life, your joyous life, your dream life, your life that you love to get up to every day. And that's this: fear. Fear kills more dreams than almost anything else. Now, fear, you know, what is it? We'll talk about it. And I'm going to give you 10 points, 10 things to understand and eliminate fear from your life. Here's the truth that this is based on. You don't have to live in fear. I'll say that again. You don't have to live in fear. Staying in fear is a choice. Now, as I say that, it applies to most people in most circumstances. I am not talking about someone who is daily in a place where they're tortured or daily in a place where they're starving and not literally not knowing where their next food is coming from. That kind of thing is different. It exists and there is lots of it in the world. And it is our duty, our responsibility, and our opportunity, our sacred obligation to do what we can about that. And I'm not telling you what to do or how to do it. But I know that if you and me and all of us did a little bit, and we did it often, we would make a huge impact. I'm often moved by those commercials you see on TV of St. Jude and MS and the SPCA and Tunnels to Towers and all those things that want $11 or $19 or some amount of money a month, which is small. And Joy and I contribute to a lot of things just because we want to be part of the solution. And we're active in our church and community and blah, blah, blah. So those are the things that we do to make a difference in the world. But here's the point. None of that has to do with fear. None of you listening right now are living in a situation where you're in imminent danger that threatens your life or your well-being every day. Probably. Now, there might be, I have had interviews on my podcast where people have been in that situation, and I have had those kind of conversations, so I'm not pretending it away. But I'm not talking about that situation. If you are in a life-threatening situation right now, call for help. Call the number that's available in your country or it's available in your neighborhood. Go to a friend's or a neighbor's or someplace safe, to a pastor or the the authorities, the law, if that's available or makes sense in your situation. You don't have to stay in a threatening situation. And you know what it is that keeps us in those situations often? Fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear that we'll get caught. Fear that something worse will happen. Fear, 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 fear. So even in those terrible situations, living in fear can end. And it only ends by two things. One, changing the way we think about it, and changing what we do. So I want to talk about how to get fear out of your equation. In my work as a coach, I deal with a lot of people that want to make money, that want to create or grow business, that want to learn how to speak in public, that want to be speakers, that want to be authors, that want to be performers, that want to get promoted at work, that want to have better relationships, the things that you go get help for, right? I'm a coach. I coach relationships. I coach money. I coach business. I coach career changes. I coach upgrading your life. I coach mindset. I coach meditation. All of those things really are simply choices we make to improve our lives, right? We buy a new book. We go to a seminar. Why? Because we think, we hope that we'll find something in there that helps us. Now, the one pitfall is we somehow think that the book's going to do the work. Never does. Seminar won't do it. We got to do the work. So this is what this is about. How to get rid of fear, get it out of your life, and have it not be an element in your decision making as you go about creating the life you love, which you deserve, which you can have right now. So as we start, I want to issue you an invitation. There's a URL on the screen, www.yourultimatelife.ca. I invite you to go there and opt in, get some free stuff. It's free from a cost point of view, but it's not free from a work point of view. There's work involved, but what's there is the five master keys to create your ultimate life. Those have been created and built over my 16 years of experience working only on this thing. I started actually 17 years ago now, working on creating a life radically different than the one I left. I have succeeded. I'm excited. And now my passion is to share it with you. Today, that sharing is about how to get rid of fear. So first thing we need to do is understand fear. Like, what is it? Well, we've all heard, fear is not real. Its effects are real. I tremble. I shake. My stomach gets upset. My neck gets tight. However it manifests in your body. I want you to think right now for a minute, how does fear manifest in your body? How does it? When you know I'm afraid, is it in your stomach? It's in my stomach for me. My stomach, and then sometimes it goes down into my abdomen. I get, knots and feelings in there. But what is it really? Well, fear is a concoction of chemistry in your bloodstream. It is neurotransmitters that are secreted. And listen to this. This is really important. They are secreted only when you believe you are in some kind of danger. If you're in danger and you don't believe it, you don't feel fear because you don't believe it. If you're not in danger, really, but you believe you are, your body will experience fear. Your body will experience. The chemistry will be there. So fear is that. That's chemistry. Now, what brings us to fear, right? Well, fears are varied. There's all kinds of fear. There's fear of bodily harm, right? You're driving down the road and someone drives out in front of you and you know you're going to T-bone them. That happened to me once, and it was my fault. Many years ago now, I think maybe 30 years. Yeah, 30 years ago, I was in Phoenix at the time. I was driving and I wear contact lenses. I've said that before, but something was bothering my eye. And so my contacts weren't right. A light turned red. I didn't see it. I went through the intersection and I broadsided a truck. Now it was in a city, so we weren't driving that fast. And there was good damage to the vehicles, but no one was hurt significantly. But I saw the truck in time to realize I'm going to hit this guy. And in that instant, less than a second between the time I saw it and the time of impact, I experienced extraordinary fear. I was afraid. Who's going to get hurt? What's going to go down? Oh no. I shouted to the kids. I was driving a pickup with a back seat, a crew cab, and I shouted, "We're going to hit the truck." And we did. And I did that as warning for them to get down or to brace or whatever, right? And it was extraordinary, the fear that came in that moment. So that's fear of bodily harm. You might experience that if you're mountain climbing. You might experience that if you're trying to do a ski slope you've never done before. I did that often when I was learning to ski. There was a mixture of fear and excitement, but a lot of it was fear because I always felt like I needed to push the edge. And so I was going to ski something steeper than I, you know, above my pay grade. And so then I was afraid. I did. I experienced fear. So now we know what it is. Some of the types are bodily harm. What else is there? Well, there's fear of embarrassment. Now, I don't know why we equate embarrassment with such mortal fear. But think about it. The people in general, when they take surveys about their greatest fears, the highest ranking fear, and I know you've heard this before, is fear of public speaking. That ranks above slightly fear of death. Now, maybe that's only because they're not imminently facing death, but everybody knows what it feels like to have to stand up and give a prezi or to give a talk. And you have that internal visceral fear, right? You know you're not going to die. You know the floor isn't going to open and swallow you. Almost certainly, maybe it's at work, maybe it's a presentation, maybe it's at a Toastmasters, maybe it's in church, maybe it's in front of, I don't know who, some group, right? And you have this almost mortal fear, and you might feel it in your legs shaking, or your legs stiffening up, or you try to speak and your throat gets tight, or your mind goes blank. All of those things are symptoms of fear. So the question I have about it is, what is it exactly that we're afraid of? Now, you can say it, use your words, what you're afraid of, if public speaking is a problem for you, or presentations or anything like that. The way I would describe it is, I'm afraid of being ridiculed or laughed at or being wrong or failing in some way. Now, those are all different versions of the same thing. I'm going to fail. I'm going to do it wrong. I'm going to be laughed at. Somebody's going to throw stuff at me. You know, they'll dismiss me as irrelevant. When I think about that and I think that through, what that really is I'm afraid of dying. That's really fear of death, because somehow I, and I'm not saying this is true for you, I have equated not being good enough, being laughed at, being booed off the stage, dismissed, pushed aside either actually or emotionally as irrelevant, is the same as dying. I'm afraid of not existing, of evaporating. Now, even if that's true, or there's some other version of that, I know in my heart, and so do you, my heart's not going to stop beating. I am not going to die. And you know that too. Yet we have this visceral, throat-clenching, gut-wrenching fear. Okay, so there's another one, fear of ridicule, as emphasized by, you know, that public speaking. Another one is fear of being discovered, fear of being found out. If you're hiding something, maybe you've had an affair on your spouse, maybe you've stolen something, maybe you're doing something illegal. You know, when I was in my years of substance abuse, I had mortal fear of getting arrested and all the rest of the stuff that goes with that. So fear, it's a thing that we have that comes from that we believe an undesirable outcome. Something is going to hurt us. So let's just use that for fear as a definition. Now let's move on to the next thing. How about you, your fears? You have some. You have some fears. I used to have a lot of fears. I was deathly afraid of not being good enough. I needed to be told I was okay. I was a fear of being worthless, useless, valueless, pushed aside, shown up, dismissed. All of those words that you can think of, I had mortal fear of that. What are yours? I'd like you to take just a minute and think through things that you're afraid of. Maybe not to the death level, you know. Maybe you have a phobia of spiders or bugs of some kind or whatever. What are, list two or three things that you're afraid of, and afraid of to a degree that it bothers you. It gets in the way of your decisions. I have a client, and when I say client, I'm a coach, and so I have clients all over the world. And my goal with clients is to help them accomplish the goals they want, go from where they are to where they want to go, whether it's a monetary goal or business goal or relationship goal. I'm an expert, world-class expert at helping people do things they believe are impossible. Today, they believe it's impossible, and we get them done. That's what I do. So I have a client who his fear of running out of money, failing somehow, and, you know, I use the phrase dying under a bridge as a catch-all phrase for being dismissed from society, relegated to the irrelevant, becoming homeless, all of those kinds of things. So he fears running out of money and dying under a bridge in some fashion, figuratively, if not literally. That fear gets in the way of a lot of things. It gets in the way of action. It gets in the way of taking any risks at all. But that very paralysis makes the situation worse. So fears tend to feed on each other. What are your fears? Have you listed two or three? Good. Now, here's what I want you to do next is drop the drama around those fears. Because one of the things we do about fears, we start yelling at ourselves. I shouldn't be afraid of that. What's wrong with me? How come I'm afraid of that? I shouldn't be. I'm embarrassed. I'm stupid. I'm using some language about that. Well, that's not helpful, and it will never help you overcome them. Another thing that's not helpful is just to say, well, that's just the way I am. I can never do anything about that. Because that won't help you either. Now, if you say, I don't care if I ever overcome this fear or not, I'm completely happy being terrified of X. It doesn't bother me. I don't care. Then you don't need to work on getting rid of your fears or any fear. But most of the time, things that we're afraid of get in the way of purpose, prosperity, and joy. They get in the way of you or me having the impact you want to have in the world, doing the good, making the money, making the connections, doing the presentations or product creation, or getting promotions at work. They get in the way of that. And so that's why it's so valuable. Really, really valuable to get rid of this fear stuff. Now, today, I used this background. I hope you're looking at that. It's a dojo, martial arts dojo. And I use it because of how many thousands of hours I've spent in one. But also, that is a place of fear elimination. Because when you go to learning the moves and the techniques, and then you go spar, and depending on the kind of style you use and the rules of the dojo, sparring can be anything from sort of pretend with lots of pads to some pretty brutal stuff. And I've participated in both. My favorite kind is the stuff that has real consequences. And of course, that drags with it a pile of fear. Again, fear of a negative outcome. Now, here's the next piece of this. Now that you've identified some fears, instead of being afraid of them, or instead of berating yourself about them, instead of saying, well, that's just the way I am, I can't do anything, what if you say instead, I am afraid of X today? Today, the truth is, without drama, without negativity, I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid of speaking. I'm afraid of doing that particular thing. I'm afraid of that tough conversation that's coming. I'm afraid that I'm not going to make enough money this year. I am. There I am. Afraid of that thing. Just accept it and learn to accept it without drama. When we attach recrimination and blame to the fear, it multiplies the size by 10. I was going to say it doubles the size, but double isn't anywhere near big enough. Triple, quadruple, quintuple, 10 tuples the size of the fear. And then it becomes a sort of ugly, evil, indefeatable monster. Well, it doesn't need to be that. That's just something that we create. And remember, fear is just neurotransmitters. Nobody can bring you a cup of fear. Oh, there it is. Ah, fear. Look at it writhing in the cup. No such thing. So since you know fear is invisible, but it has real impact, the only way to get rid of it is to acknowledge it and drop the drama. I am today afraid of that. Okay, good. Simply that statement with calmness and focus is the absolute beginning place. Because now the fear is that thing over there. When it's in us and we're we have all this emotion. It's really difficult to separate it. But when I look at it over there and I say, I am afraid of standing up in front of people and speaking. I am. There it is. I experience fear when I think about that, when I even imagine it, when someone asks me, my stomach gets tense. How interesting. But no drama. No pass out, fall on the floor, or self-recrimination drama. When you can do that, just say that's something you're afraid of, whatever it is, you're well on your way. You've taken a huge step toward understanding it and then getting it out of your life. Again, the purpose of this whole conversation is for you to be able to eliminate fears from preventing you. Get fears out of the equation of what you decide to do, what you decide to risk, what you decide to create, specifically a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. Okay. Now, when you have the understand at one, and you can do it with more than one, but it's, especially when you're starting, just pick one thing you're afraid of. Put it outside over there. I'm afraid of that thing. Then go to the mirror and look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know what? I love you to yourself, right in your own eyes. I love you, even though today I'm afraid of that thing. I'm not bad because of that. I'm not anything. Other people are afraid of other stuff. In fact, there may be lots of people that are afraid of the same thing I am, more or less. I love myself anyway, and I value myself. Even with this fear that I have, it doesn't make me worthless or less of less value or less power or less capable. It doesn't. It is simply a state. It's like saying, I have a broken leg. Right at this moment with a broken leg, there are some things I can't do. But it doesn't make me or you less valuable as a person. It doesn't make you less worthy. It temporarily makes both of us unable to ski down the hill or run, some laps around the track because the leg's broken or lift some weights or whatever. We can't do that right now. Well, your fear is just right now. So right now you're afraid of a thing and there it is. And you're still valuable, precious, capable. And the proof is the fact that you've identified it and set it aside and looked at it objectively, and then reaffirmed your own personal value. Okay. The next thing I want to do is help you understand what fear is and educate yourself about it. Okay? Because the more I understand about something, the more familiar it is. I'll give you a real-world example. I've owned a recording studio for some 40 years. I have a lot of professional music up. If you look me up on Spotify, I think the last count is I have 91 songs. I'll be at 100 before the end of the year, and that's fun. I do music because I love it. I do all kinds of different things. When I first started trying to do my own music, to record music, I was afraid. The fear I had is I'll never do this very well. Nobody will ever like it, and it will suck. So what's the use? So think about it. I was afraid it wouldn't work, wouldn't do good. That factored into my decision, so I was held back from getting involved. And when I did, I just dabbled a little because I was so afraid that it wouldn't work anyway, so what's the point? Right? I know you know that. Maybe it isn't music, but some other thing. You say, well, I won't ever get there, so what's the point? When I understood, well, I don't know how to record, mix, master, and produce songs for distribution. I don't know how to do that. I don't even know how to write a song very well. I'd played the piano all my life, so I knew how to play well. And I'd been in various, community and school choirs, but I didn't think much of my singing. Now, if I had let fear stop me, like I did to start with, and I would never be where I am today. I have 91 songs. Many of them are vocals. I performed in a professional choir, and I performed professionally as a vocalist. And none of that would have been possible unless I did what I said, which is I'm afraid. I'm not bad because I'm afraid. I'm just going to do something about it. What is there to do? So when I looked at the studio stuff, I realized, well, I have a lot to learn. So what did I do? Well, I bought some books. Then I started watching some videos, which in those days weren't really readily available. They came on DVDs, so There were some DVDs that you could get that talked about different studio processes. One of my favorite guys was a guy named Friedemann Tischmeier, who is a German. He works with Steinberg, a company that makes a lot of music, create professional music creation software. But anyway, so I started exploring. And I started, what do you need to do? You need some kind of a tape recorder, special kind, SimulSync, it's called, multi-track tape recorders. And gradually I learned. And then when I started singing, I thought, oh, I got to learn something about soundproofing because external sounds are messing up my tracks, or when I play the piano, noises in the house. So I started finding out about that. And gradually that learning got rid of the fears. Learning to speak in public, learning to give winning presentations, learning to close on sales calls, learning to have a good conversation in relationships, they're all exactly the same as the fear I had about doing crappy music. There are techniques, there are tools, there are teachers for every single fear that you have. There is nothing that you have a fear of right now that you cannot overcome. Isn't that exciting? You can do this. Now, what it takes is to identify the fear, set it aside, drop the drama, affirm your own value, and then say, what do I need to do to educate myself? Maybe reading stories. One of the things that helps me is reading or hearing or listening to stories of other people who have overcome fear. Ah, that gives me courage. That gives me encouragement. That's why I'm sharing the stories of some of the fears that I've had. I used to hate public speaking. I used to hate singing in public. I used to hate a lot of things. Performing of any kind scared me to death because I was afraid I was going to be ridiculed and do bad. And guess what? I did sometimes. And I was laughed at sometimes. And sometimes those things happen. And what I learned is, number one, I don't die, and neither will you. Number two, the situation ends and tomorrow comes. And number three, there's always some way to learn more, to practice. So that taught me that fears are overcomable. I know that's not a word, but let's use it. They're overcomable. They're not permanent. And they simply depend on our effort. They're in our heads, right? Now, I just talked the other day to a hypnotist who worked with people with weight and smoking and other, you know, habits, issues of habit that were getting in the way. And people were afraid, I'll never overcome this. I'll never this, that, and the other. Now, he uses hypnosis, and he's a licensed hypnotist. There's also self-hypnosis methods that are quite effective. I know that because I've become skilled at that. But again, there's another thing to practice. What happens when a hypnotist works with you? The only thing that happens is they help you change that belief that you can't do something, that you're afraid of something, that something will hurt you. So you learn through practice to change the belief. Now, the only thing hypnosis has to do with it is when you get hypnotized, it's like meditation. Meditation is a form of hypnosis. Your mind gets into a very relaxed state. Your brain gets into alpha state, where your brain is functioning at a different frequency, but you can do that yourself. A really good book to learn how to do that is called the Silva Mind Control Method. Really old, 40, 50 years old. Good book. Love it. Another thing is learn to meditate and get yourself in alpha state. Why would you care? When your mind is in the alpha frequency state, you can give yourselves suggestions just like the hypnotist does, and they have more power. When you're in alpha state, those suggestions enter into your subconscious in a different way. There's no magic about it. That's just how the brain works. And taking advantage of that means that you can reprogram some of those fears. Now, whether you do it yourself or you get some help, doesn't really matter. You are taking action. So you've isolated a fear. You've put it outside of you. You've disconnected it from your self-worth. Oh, because I have that fear, I suck. You've disconnected that, and then you've taken steps to eliminate that. Now, there's lots of ways, and I'm going to give you several of them. One of them I mentioned is hypnosis, self-hypnosis. One is meditation. And when you're in a meditative state, have part of the meditation be the repetition of different thoughts about not being afraid, about being confident. Now, here's a secret, and I'm going to call it a secret. It's not really a secret. I've used the power of declaration, and I use that word instead of affirmation. I think affirmations are a watered-down form of declaration, and you can disagree with me, but I found declarations to be much more powerful. I've used declarations to change my mindset about many things, things that I was afraid of, I'm no longer afraid of, and that the use of that, or affirmations, if you prefer. What are those? Affirmations are statements, positive statements that you say to yourself. That's it. They are positive statements you say to yourself. They represent not what you are at this moment, but what you believe or what you wish to be. Now, there are several things that determine the strength or value or power of affirmations or declarations, which are more powerful, and that is your state of mind. If someone says to a hypnotist, there's no way you're going to hypnotize me, I'm not going to do anything, screw you, I won't relax, I won't count backwards, I won't look at that stupid thing, I'm not doing anything, you can't be taken to alpha state against your will. Can't happen. Okay, for most people, I'm not saying never, but most people, you can't do that. Okay, so that means if you choose to refuse to change, you can get in your own way about eliminating fear. You can choose to cling to your fears. I'm afraid of spiders. I'll be afraid forever. I don't care. There's nothing that can ever change it. I do want to get out. I don't want to get out of my face. You're going to be afraid of spiders forever. And if you're okay with that, that's fine. But again, most of the fears we have are getting in our way and we know it. And we wish they were gone. So this is how to do that. So self-hypnosis or hypnosis by a professional. affirmations, which is repeating positive statements. Now, I found that saying things like, I am not afraid of speaking, isn't very powerful. Not afraid is a wimp-ass statement. It's weak, and not something is hard to define. Okay, I am not afraid. Well, what does that mean? What even if you're not afraid and you've thrown fear out, then what you have is a vacuum. You have nothing. So if you're crafting affirmations, and we'll talk about declarations in a minute, make them in a positive way with positive statements. I am confident while speaking. I am powerful while speaking. I make my points easily and clearly. I'm able to make contact and communicate well with members of the audience. Those are positive statements that are far more powerful than I'm not afraid. I don't forget my stuff. No, I remember my points. I remember the order of my points. I remember my lines, my slides, whatever it is. I remember them easily and powerfully. Each version of that has a different impact because you're using different words. Again, the truth is, if you fight with it, this will never work. It's stupid, but I'll say these words. Then you can destroy its effectiveness. A yearning for success and a real commitment is an amplifier of that method. Declarations are more powerful than affirmations, even though they might be some of the same words. And they are, the reason is because they are founded on a deeper truth. And the deeper truth is, even though you may not be where you want to be, you know you can. You know you are valuable. So, for example, an easy way to illustrate that is to think about who you are. Well, either you popped out of nowhere or you're a creation of the divine, right? My experiences, including dying and a bunch of other things, have taught me for certain that you and I were intentional creations of the divine. So if that's true, or since that's true, then that means we have a lot of capabilities. So coming from the place of knowing that I have capability, my saying, I am confident when I speak. I am capable of remembering. I remember my words. I remember my points. I make good contact with the audience. When I start from a place inside of knowing that I'm divine, valuable, and capable, the statements have 1,000 times more power. When we start from a place of doubt and fear, then the statements are useless. We can say them forever, and then affirmations just become so much hot air. It's like I'm saying a bunch of crap I don't believe, hoping that by saying it 1 billion times, I can talk myself into it. That never works. Okay, so you've got hypnosis, you've got meditation, you've got affirmations to declarations, which are much more powerful, as I mentioned. And another thing that I teach and do for myself is to learn to love yourself without the context of any particular, any particular fear you're trying to overcome. Because whether you're good at something or not, whether you're capable of doing something or not, right this minute, you're still valuable and precious. In the eyes of the divine, you're a valuable, precious person, as valuable as anyone else who breathes air. Those are just facts. Reminding yourself of that and then choosing to lean into that truth is so powerful. One of the ways that I do that is I just look in my own eyes in the morning and tell myself I love myself. Not in a vain or silly way, not strutting in front of the mirror, but just, I love you, Kellen, for just being in the personal development growth, for trying to do better every day, for this, for that. And what I do doesn't matter, but I'm encouraging you to do that. Learning to love yourself and starting from that place makes your declarations, again, 1,000 times more powerful. Another thing to think about is something called a positive mindset. What is a positive mindset? Well, there's lots of ways to think about a positive mindset. And so I'm only going to give you one. You can read 1 million books on, you know, positive mindset. Some of them are good and some of them are mumbo jumbo. Here's a really easy one to think about. And this is optimism versus pessimism. A pessimist thinks an optimist is nuts and has a Pollyanna or silly view of the world. Rose-colored glasses. An optimist is just sad for a pessimist because they can't see the possibilities of every day of life. I'm not going to define them that way, but that's kind of a funny definition. Here's an optimist. An optimist looks at any situation and simply says with full conviction, there's got to be a way to fix this problem. There's got to be a way. I don't know what it is right now, but there's got to be a way. And so every thought, every suggestion, every action, you know, everything that comes out of that person comes from the place of there's got to be a way. And if I try this and it doesn't work, okay, that's not the way, but there's got to be one. A pessimist looks at the same situation and says, we're screwed. I can't. There's no way. And so their thoughts and efforts come from the place of we're finished. I can't do this. It'll never work. That shift right there is, it's like a lever to move a rock. It is a 1,000 times power. It gives you so much power because when you tell yourself there's got to be a way and you go at looking for one, your whole mindset, your whole expectation, your eyes, your ears, your senses, your brain are in a different gear. If you look at a situation and say, we're screwed, we might as well give up, there's no way, you feel even that energy. The energy of me saying that is way, it's a downer. It dampens things. Everybody shuts down. So think about positive mindset just as being an optimist. That's a choice. It's not being stupid. It is a choice to look at things as though there is a solution. Another thing you can do is practicing mindfulness. Now, mindfulness and relaxation techniques, that kind of thing. We talked a little bit about that earlier when we talked about meditation. Mindfulness is a fancy word that's getting in vogue these days. All it means is being here in this moment. Like here I am talking to you. In mindfulness, I'm aware of these earbuds that are in my ear. I can feel them. I can feel this. My nose itches because I sneezed a minute ago. I can feel the chair underneath me. I'm present to the picture, the martial arts studio that's in the picture behind me that you're seeing. Okay, I'm present to small noises that are in the room here that you probably can't hear, but tiny little sounds in the room. I'm present to those. I hear them. I'm present to the message that I'm giving you. I'm focused on you. I'm present to you. I feel like I'm talking to you as if you're right here in front of me. I'm looking in your eyes and yearning in your soul that you can feel loved and positive and capable. And that your fears, you can feel the melting just a little. There's a possibility. There's got to be a way. And so I am present to the energy of reassuring. That's what being present means. Being mindful means being here. When you practice that, you'll be surprised at first how much of your effort and energy is somewhere else. Thinking about somebody else or some other situation. Something that happened in the past, last hour or yesterday, something that's coming in the future, a minute from now, a day from now, a year from now, right? The report that's due at work, when's my next paycheck? The bill collector's coming, I'm in trouble, somebody's going to find out this. You know, we're everywhere, but here, now. And that is so disempowering. Because the only thing you have control over is right now. That's it. And when you or I spend most of our time somewhere else, or some when else, future or past, we're really ineffective. I mean, we suck in the present moment. All you have to do is look at, you know, a championship sports team. Basketball, hockey, whatever, soccer, when they're on fire and they're in the present moment, the only thing that's real for them is the field, the grass, the ball, the other players, right here, right now. Nothing else matters, right? And you've seen the magic that happens when you're that way. So that takes practice, but it's a skill worth developing and it will eliminate fear. Fear comes from worrying about something in the future. I'm going to screw this talk up, and then I'm going to get laughed at, and then I'm going to feel bad, and then they'll never ask me back again, or whatever. Excuse me. So fear can't exist in the now, unless you're right now being damaged or hurt. Unless this moment, this 8.64 seconds, a moment is 8.64 seconds. Some other time I'll tell you why. But in this moment, unless something is happening in this moment, it can't touch you. And learning to live and maximize this moment is a powerful tool. So here's another way to overcome fear. Get it out of your life. They use this in different therapy. It's called gradual exposure. So I just started a few weeks ago doing an ice bath every morning. I exercise and then I lay down in a tub full of ice and water, cold, cold water. When I thought about that ahead of time, I was afraid. Crap, that's going to be hard. I'm going to freeze to death. And because I thought about it that way, the first time I got in, it was hard and I had all these panic attacks. Now, I had done some research, like I said earlier, about what to do about ice baths and what plunges do and how they affect your sympathetic, parasympathetic nervous system and so forth. So I knew immediately to change my breathing rhythm and what to focus on. And in doing that, it dissipated. So gradual exposure is a way to eliminate fears. Gradual exposure, a little at a time. And how you would structure that depends on what the fear is and what gradual looks like. the purpose of gradual is that you realize a little at a time you don't have something. It's not going to kill you. In all of this, remember to set realistic goals. Set little goals you can achieve, because success breeds success. Celebrating progress is a critical piece because it reinforces your success. So whatever it is you identified as your fear, it's getting in the way of creating the life you want, the goals you want, the money you want, the relationship you want. Set tiny goals. Often, you know, in our performance culture, we have this idea that unless you're chasing some BHAG, big, hairy, audacious goal, you're not very good. Unless you're taking massive action, that's nonsense. Slow and steady wins the race, a little at a time, and celebrate. Celebrate everything you've overcome. Celebrate every increase in exposure. Celebrate your victory. Celebrate your courage. Look deeper into your eyes and say how grateful you are and how much you love yourself. Those things matter so much you can't imagine unless you start doing them. I noticed that the most effective thing for me was to get a good coach. That shouldn't be surprising. I am a coach, one of the reasons I became one. But if you look at athletics, the Olympics are coming up later this week. The Copa Cup and Euro Cup were this year. Every high performer in the world has a coach. And if the coach isn't good, they get a new one, because they expect the coach to help them hone their skills, adjust their mindset, eliminate fears, and make them more proficient and effective at their craft, whether it's a sport or whether it's in the boardroom, on the stock market, or anything else. So for me, one of the most important things was getting good coaching. Why? Because I had somebody to talk to, somebody that was on my side, somebody I could be honest with, discuss my fears, and then get some good feedback to help with many of these different tools that I've talked about today for eliminating fear. So get yourself a good coach. If you want to get rid of your fear and achieve the goals that you have to create your ultimate life. Above all, I want to reaffirm as we get to the end here, you have the ability to do anything you want. When you look at yourself in the mirror, don't look at yourself as a failure, a wimp, a nothing, I can't, I'm not. See instead your beauty, your grace, your power, your capability. It's there too. It's just what we choose to look at. We've all seen those things online where if you look at it one way, you see one set of things. And if you look at it another way, you see a completely different thing. Everything is in the eye or the brain of the beholder. You are capable. You are beautiful. You do not have to be sidetracked by fear. I invite you to get a hold of me. Let me help you if you want. My commitment this year is to help 250 million people. You discover who you really are so you can change the world with your infinite capability. You have every right to have anything you want, to create any value you want, money, relationships, happiness, joy. But nobody's going to do it for you. Your hands are on the controls. All the help you need is available. And the engine is in your heart, your mind, your desire. Nothing can stop you. Nothing can keep you from creating your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.